Welcome to Contrast. Richard Bennett, converted Catholic priest, now evangelist, presents Contrast. Your comments and questions will be greatly appreciated. Permission is given to record and copy the entire message. And now, here is Richard Bennett.
Today I am interviewing Bob Bush, a former Roman Catholic priest of the Jesuit order, and I know, Bob, from listening to your testimony how you came to biblical faith. And like many of us who were Roman Catholic priests, that you had great difficulties when you were a Roman Catholic priest with infant baptism. Bob, welcome to this interview, and can you explain for those listening here in Trinidad why it is that as Bible believers we cannot accept infant baptism?
Richard, I'm very happy to be with you and speaking to your radio audience, and infant baptism is one of those doctrines that the Catholic Church has that is not in Scripture. And your listening audience will be very interested to know that Canon 849 of present-day canon law even says that baptism is necessary. I'll quote it right now. I have it right in front of me. In present-day canon law, which is the ultimate authority of the Catholic Church for, you know, its legislation and so forth, it says, "Baptism, the gate to the sacraments, necessary for salvation, in fact, or at least in intention, by which men and women are freed from their sins, reborn as children of God." That's the new birth that the Catholic Church claims happens through infant baptism. Reborn as children of God and configured to Christ. Well, that is claiming all of the things that happens by justification by faith, which is the Bible way to be reborn and to be saved. The Catholic Church firmly believes that when they baptize a little baby, that baby is reborn and has eternal life. And there's nothing in Scripture about that at all. And it's very important to note that infant baptism was not practiced in the early church at all. And Catholic historians and Catholic history books will tell you this, that it started happening about the 3rd century. It became a universal practice in the 5th century. And now all over the world, when parents have little babies, you know, as people will relate who are listening today, they rush to the church to baptize the little baby to have it to be saved. But that is not the Bible way, and that is a tremendous problem.
Can you explain what the Bible way, in fact, is, Bob? Can you explain that for our listeners?
Yes. There's a very important text, and if people have their Bibles, I really recommend that they look at it and open to this. And underline it, mark it, because it's such a beautiful text. It summarizes so much of what the Bible says and puts it so clearly. And that's in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So in the Ephesian letter, in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says...
Can you read what it says?
And it's such a blessing, and I'm so happy to be able to speak this over the airwaves, because this is the wondrous thing that our God has done for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he took all our sins. And it tells us there very clearly, now I'm quoting from the Bible, "For it is by grace that you have been saved." Do you see? It's grace. It's no work. You know, like the Catholic Church always has a work. No, it's grace. "For it is by grace you have been saved." And continuing in the quote, "through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now what a verse, because it says it's not by works. The reason here is, now, and everyone, once you get one of these ideas, you just see how awesome, wonderful God is. It's not by any work that we do. A work of baptism will not save us. It's by grace, or else we could boast. Now, what that means is that when we're in heaven and standing before God, you know, we could say, "Now, everybody, I'm here because of a work that I did." We can't do that. When we get to heaven, we will be there, and we'll stand before God, and we'll say, I am here because of what God did. It was a gift of grace given to me, and all I do is just bow down in thanksgiving, and I cannot boast of any work. It also says in John 6:29, John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 29 says, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him, on Jesus, whom He has sent. See, that's the work of God. The response of faith in our hearts by the grace that God puts into our hearts.
Yes, can you give something of your own testimony? I know that it was in India when you were there with another Jesuit who has become a Bible believer, Victor Alfonso. I know that sometime both of you were reading this text, and can you give us a tiny bit of how you came to biblical faith out of the Roman Catholic priesthood, Bob?
Yes, I was, I was a Jesuit, and our training is very long. It's 13 years of study from the time I entered. I studied for 13 years before I was ordained. I mean, that's a lot of study. That's 3 full years of doing nothing but philosophy studies and 4 full years of doing nothing but theology studies. And in the other years, we were doing humanities and studying all kinds of things, plus reading the lives of the saints and all sort of ascetical works and things like that. Well, after that much studying and, you know, passing tests and whatnot, your mind, you trust your teachers, so you just kind of give in to what you're learning. But conflict was coming to me from this direction. I started reading the Bible more, because we studied the Bible, but in the Catholic Church, you do not take the Bible as the one ultimate source for revealed truth, because they also have tradition. You know, they believe that
we do not take it. We didn't take it as the Bible only being the rule of faith or the authority.
That's right, and it's very important for everyone to realize that if you have two sources of truth, you're going to have conflict, and that's what was starting to happen to me. People were actually coming to me and asking, well, what about this? You know, actually one of the questions was about baptism. What about this? I mean, they would read the Bible from cover to cover, especially the New Testament, and they would not see, you know, that this was the way people got saved. In fact, in the Bible itself, Cornelius, you know, was saved when Peter was preaching to him. He had a new life experience just through preaching. And after that, he was baptized. Also, the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was promised by Jesus, today you will be with me in paradise, and he was never baptized. So it's very, very wrong to say it's necessary for salvation.
Yes, Bob, give me something on... Can you give me something on Isaiah 53? I know it had been precious when I was becoming a Bible believer. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Yes, it's so important, that text. And when we were in India, that's what we were doing. It's just what we are doing right now for your ready audience. We would read these texts, we would pray over them, and we decided, we said, whatever way the Word of God goes, that's the way it's going to go. Because I had been a priest. See, after my ordination, I was a priest for 21 years. And I knew, you know, this is going to be the end of that type of ministry. But I found a more glorious ministry, and that's the one of finding the Lord Jesus and following Him in His Word.
Yeah, that's it's interesting that you say that, because it was exactly 21 years that I spent there with my beloved Trinidadians to whom we're talking to. So you were 21 years in the Jesuits, and I was 21 years as a Roman Catholic priest in Trinidad. So that is interesting. Can you say a word of encouragement to our people to want to get into the Bible and to see just what biblical salvation is?
I'm just delighted to have this opportunity to tell them that sometimes they might feel like they're not smart enough. But you know, Jesus walked this earth dealing with the people. You know, he went to the synagogues and they understood what he was saying. If we just listen to him, that eradicates all the confusion. We pick up our Bible and just read it and listen to the wonderful words of Jesus and how he tells us he's going to a cross and he's going to die on that cross because he loves us so much that he is going to take away all of our sins by what he does.
Yeah, I think it's so important what you say, that we just listen to the Lord. It's not that we are saying these things about the Catholic Church. It is not any church that saves you. No church.
That's very important. I have nothing but great love for Catholics, as I know you do too, Richard. And we just want to speak the word of truth to them. You know, just tell them how we love them, which we really do, because Jesus died for everyone.
Yes, while you catch your voice there, Bob, Jesus died where you should have died and I should have died, on the cross. He died for each one of us.
Yes,
and for us to cry out for that grace to him. And I know you feel, as I do, a compassion for our brothers and sisters who we have spent a whole life with, that they would know this biblical message. Bob, is there any other scripture you would like to share with the listeners about salvation?
Yes, there's...